Good morning, everybody. It is wonderful to worship with you today. And as always, I am excited to jump into God's word together with you this morning. So if you would, let's join our hearts together in a word of prayer. Almighty God, this day may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, shaking us to new life in you. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you had a chance to worship with us last weekend, you might remember that we have jumped into a sermon series focused on the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives as individuals and in the life of the church as a whole. And we're doing this focus on the Holy Spirit for a couple of different reasons. Again, going back to last week, you might remember we celebrated something called Pentecost. And Pentecost is really the birth of the church through the coming of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit fell in tongues of fire upon some of the original disciples and God's church was born. That celebration of Pentecost happened 50 days after the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And since we just celebrated that last week, it makes a lot of sense for us with this focus already on the Holy Spirit to just keep exploring in that direction. However, it's more than just the fact that Pentecost has just happened among us that we're exploring the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. One of the other reasons is that for many of us, when it comes to God, we tend to focus on God the Father and Jesus the Son, but we oftentimes forget about the Holy Spirit. And in many instances, we're not even quite sure how to interact with the Holy Spirit. A good friend of mine describes for many of us our relationship with the Holy Spirit in this way. He says it's kind of like we interact with the Holy Spirit as that socially awkward guy at a party. That is to say, we might acknowledge the Holy Spirit, we might give a nod in that direction from far across the room, but we don't want to get too close to that guy, lest anything weird or awkward happen. And I think that is true for a lot of us. There's an author named Cherith V. Nordling, who says this. He has an interesting phrase to describe how we tend to focus as Christians a lot on God the Father and God the Son, but we tend to ignore the role of the Holy Spirit. And the term that he lifts up is binitarian, not Trinitarian, but binitarian, because bi often refers to two. So a lot of times in our walk with God, we focus on the two parts of God the Father and God the Son, but can easily miss the third part of the Holy Spirit. And again, we serve a God who is Trinity, that is three in one, not binitarian, not two in one. I don't know if that's the case for you, but for many of us, that's the reality. And so we're spending some time focusing on this third part of God, but no lesser part of God in the Holy Spirit. And finally, we are focusing on the Holy Spirit right now because we are living in a very unique time. And the reality is, it's oftentimes through the Holy Spirit that we experience healing in our world. And we know that right now, our world needs healing. It needs healing in a physical manner as we deal with the ramifications of COVID. We need healing in an emotional manner as we deal with the grief and the loss and the anxiety around us. We need mental healing as we again deal with various forms of anxiety around us and the divisions that are around us. We need spiritual healing as oftentimes there's division between us and God and oftentimes division between us and other people. And it's the Holy Spirit that allows healing at all of these different levels to occur. And so we're going to give tremendous time and focus and intensity to the role of the Holy Spirit so that we might experience healing and we might offer the experience of healing in our world. I want to take you back for just a moment to the original Pentecost that I referred to just a few moments ago. Think about what the Holy Spirit at the original Pentecost allowed to happen. There were a group of people gathered together and they spoke different languages from different cultures, with different backgrounds. And with the coming of the Holy Spirit, those tongues of fire, when it came upon those people, those barriers, those divisions that were caused by coming from different contexts and cultures and having different languages, those barriers were removed. Those divisions were removed. The Holy Spirit did that then. The Holy Spirit does that now. It's easy then to forget that those first apostles, when they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, they offered this kind of healing in the world. They even offered physical healings of all kinds. And now today, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. That means today, you and I, as followers of the living God, as we engage actively with the Holy Spirit, it means that God gives you and I, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the opportunity to also offer healing in our world. Spiritual, emotional, mental, physical. And so that's what this series is really all about. It's about understanding the Holy Spirit so that we can believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and then act in the Holy Spirit. And so the question, or one of them that I want to lift up for you today, is this: how do we then as individuals get fired up with the Holy Spirit within us so that we might offer Holy Spirit power and healing in our world? And that's what we want to dig in together here today, in the relationship with the Holy Spirit. So to answer that question, let me first ask you another question. And that is this: when I even mention the term Holy Spirit, what image comes to mind for you? Now, you might remember last week I asked you a more broad question. I said, what's the image of God that comes to mind for you? But I want to narrow that down just a little bit more. What's the image of the Holy Spirit that comes to mind for you? I wonder if for some of us, the Holy Spirit is something more like a ghost. In fact, when I was growing up, my grandmother referred to the Holy Spirit not as the Holy Spirit, but as the Holy Ghost. I was never quite sure what to do with that term because it sounds like the Holy Spirit is something that's there, but it can pass through physical barriers, kind of like a ghost. I don't know if that's an image that comes to mind for you. Maybe when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we think of something like the Force that we referenced in Star Wars. We might think that the Holy Spirit is this nebulous thing out there that we can use to coerce other people or do things with or influence in some regard, but it's the Force. And so it's kind of hard to get our hands around it or our minds around that kind of idea. Or maybe you're thinking, well, that's an easy one, Pastor Matt. The image that comes to mind for me is something you just shared with us last week. It's what we hear in Acts chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And let me just read this for us once more, that said this: they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Therefore, the image that comes to mind might be fire or tongues of fire. And so you say, that's an easy one of what comes to mind. Well, we could lift up all of those things in reference to the Holy Spirit, in addition to things like a dove or air or wind or breath. The Bible gives us all of those images for the Holy Spirit. But here's what I want us to notice with each one of those elements I just lifted up. Each one of those things I just mentioned, whether it's the Force or a ghost or a dove or fire, those are things which then would make the Holy Spirit an it. But listen to what it says today in our scripture passage in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Notice what might stick out to you. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." And then listen, "The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives within you and will be in you." Now, what did you notice that time as I read through that passage of scripture? I realize it's pretty obvious as I read it, but the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. And this is incredibly important. More specifically, we can say it this way: the Holy Spirit is the personal, divine resident in the Christian's heart. Please hear that term, personal. We hear in other places in Scripture descriptions given of the Holy Spirit that reference this personal nature. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, we hear the Holy Spirit is grieved. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15, we hear the Holy Spirit testifies. In Romans chapter 15, verse 30, we hear that the Holy Spirit loves. Impersonal forces cannot do things like love and testify and grieve. Therefore, there is a very personal element to the Holy Spirit. And the Bible focuses on this divine person residing in us, which means it's not just content about God. It's not just information about God. There's a deeply intense personal experience that comes with the Holy Spirit. And I want to ask us to hear that today, because for far too often, what we tend to do in church world is we make the Holy Spirit something to learn about rather than one to have a personal interaction and relationship with. And the problem with that then is that when we approach God or the Holy Spirit in an impersonal way, we start to do things like check off our devotional checklist each day, or we seek to be good for the sake of pleasing God and do the right moral actions, or we go to church because we should, rather than fostering this relationship with God within us in the Holy Spirit. We must remember there is a powerful experience to be had with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is personal and not mechanical. One of the most personal descriptions that we find given of the Holy Spirit is what we hear today in John chapter 14. And listen again to these words, John 14 verses 16 and 17. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." And then verses 26 and 27. "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I want to draw our attention to this term advocate here this morning as a description for the Holy Spirit. If you were to read that term in five or six different translations, you would see five or six different words used to describe that one word, advocate, which then raises a general rule of thumb for us that I want us to catch and not miss this morning when it comes to studying Scripture. Oftentimes, when you see many different words used to describe just one word, it often means that the one word in the original language is so rich, so deep, so expansive in meaning that there's no one word in the English equivalent to match it. And therefore, a bunch of different words are used. So in this case, this word for advocate can be translated as comforter or counselor or helper or teacher or friend or guide, among other things. And the reality is we need all of those terms to get at the full meaning of what advocate is being referenced to here. If we only take each one by itself, we're not going to get the full meaning. For example, if we only call the Holy Spirit comforter, that's nice, but it makes the Holy Spirit sound like a quilt. If we only call the Holy Spirit a counselor, that's fine, but it can make us think of camp counselors who are there for a week and then gone. Helper has an element of truth to it, but we're not talking about a maid or butler service. Teacher can work, but we're not talking about your third grade teacher. The specific Greek word here is a word called parakletos, and we translate it as paraclete. And it's all those things I just mentioned wrapped up into one. Specifically, para means you don't stand in front or behind. It means to stand along with, side by side. And the kletos part means to declare or argue for. So the specific definition that we find here then is what we would call a legal advocate, which it gets across the idea that you have a person who's going to stand with you side by side. They are loyal with you to the end, and they're going to defend you in the strongest way possible. So when we look at this, there's simultaneously two things going on. There is a warmth, a loyalty here, somebody who's going to stand there, be with you no matter what, shoulder to shoulder, not going to leave you. There's an intimacy and a depth and a warmth. But on the other hand, there's going to be a fierceness. This legal advocate is going to defend you against your enemies. So there's simultaneously a strength and a warmth and a tenacity in the guidance, the defending that's being given to you. It is simultaneously a warm, wonderful embrace in every circumstance, and somebody who will never, ever leave you. They will defend you always. Think about that. That is what this Holy Spirit does. This is what God does, stands with us every moment of the way and also defends us no matter what. Therefore, the presence of the Holy Spirit within us reminds us that God simultaneously stands with us and God is for us. No wonder this passage here in John 14 can end with these powerful words in verse 27, where it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Church, this is not wishful thinking. This is not exaggerated language on the part of the Bible sharing with us. This is real because the Holy Spirit is personal, that divine resident living within us, which means when that is our reality and we understand it, we embrace it, and we recognize it, we can absolutely have peace no matter what circumstances because we are filled with the personal Holy Spirit. There is simultaneously a deep strength and warmth and intimacy and a strong defending all at the same time. It's a phenomenal thought. Now, let me ask you this. Are you experiencing that strength and that intimacy within you that you might have peace right now, no matter what your circumstances may be? Or have we forgotten? Or turned away, or treated the Holy Spirit like that awkward social person at the party? How is it for us today? John this morning gives us some incredibly intimate language, and I don't want us to miss this. In verses 18 to 20 of chapter 14, he says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you'll see me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." The term orphan is used here in this passage. An orphan is a child whose parents have either died or are unknown or have permanently abandoned them. And there are obvious difficulties to being an orphan, which we would quickly understand. But there are also many hidden difficulties that come with being an orphan. And I'm grateful many of you know my wife, Jen, and she currently runs the nonprofit Dwell for foster care and adoptive parents. And she's taught me a lot on the trauma that happens for orphans. Increasingly, we're understanding the hidden effects of being an orphan. One of the biggest problems for orphans is the lack of touch that might occur in their lives. Literally, when we are not held, when we're not touched skin to skin, it stunts our growth. Numerous studies have concluded that touch deprivation actually leads children to having delayed cognitive skills, to having a lack of eye contact, to not smiling as much, to not talking as much, and often they'll be below other children when it comes to weight and height. All of this happens because of the lack of touch that orphans experience. Studies are now revealing that there's actually a calming power with touch at a physiological level. Touch stimulates receptors underneath the skin that sends signals to the brain to do things like slow down the nervous system, which helps you relax, to lower one's heart rate, to lower one's blood pressure, to increase our immune system, to help us avoid depression, and to foster joy. So when touch deprivation occurs, all the opposite bad things happen, the depression and the trauma and the growth development that is stunted, all of these things. Why am I bringing this up? Because here John is telling us Jesus is not going to leave us as orphans. We will not be deprived. We will not have to live then in trauma, into depression or trauma, or to see our growth stunted. Why? Because Jesus says he will come. And how will he come? In us as the divine resident, the Holy Spirit. He comes and he touches us and he holds us and he embraces us in the power of the Holy Spirit to live with us as a guide, to stand with us side by side, to defend us and be with us every moment of the way, no matter what. That's why we can have peace. Because we're not abandoned as orphans. Through the Holy Spirit within us, then, we can touch God and God can touch us. What a powerful, significant concept for us. Can I ask you to imagine a time that you can remember when you received a great big hug? Maybe it was from a parent or a grandparent or a good friend, but remember what it felt like to be fully embraced. Remember again the safety, the security, the warmth, the healing, the peace that it brought. Everything felt okay when you were fully engulfed by this person that you love and care about. That's what God is doing here, except God's doing even more than wrapping his arms around us. God is filling us from within. It is touch on the outside and in the inside through the divine resident, this personal Holy Spirit. I love this quote that Tim Keller says. He says, Jesus is so one with the Holy Spirit that when the Holy Spirit comes to us, so does Jesus. But then he says, Jesus is not so identical to the Holy Spirit that when the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus is not also taken away in heaven. He's enough like the Holy Spirit that we experience Christ, and yet not so the Holy Spirit that's exactly Christ. There is also a distinction between the two, which allows us, you and I, through the Holy Spirit, to experience the touch of Christ. I realize this is a lot for us to get our minds around, but I want us to understand this because we want to break it down and make this a little bit more practical in our lives. What does all of this mean as we get our minds around understanding the Holy Spirit, that we might better believe in the Holy Spirit, that we might act in the Holy Spirit? I believe that it means we can experience the power of the Holy Spirit in at least two ways. First, we can experience the Holy Spirit within us. You and I right now, we do not have to feel like orphans. We can experience peace no matter what we're going through, no matter how significant. For far too long, we've treated the Holy Spirit almost like a pair of glasses that we look at rather than through the lens of reality that God wants us to experience. And so today, I want to invite us to recognize the Holy Spirit alive within us if we are Jesus followers. How? First, we have to quit treating the Holy Spirit as an awkward guest or as a lesser than part of God. The same Holy Spirit that was present to the disciples, who offered healing in the world, who allowed them to speak in other languages, is the same Holy Spirit present to you and I today. We must believe that. We must understand that. And the same Holy Spirit that Jesus is talking about and describing here in John 14 is the same Holy Spirit present among you and I this day. We must hear that and recognize that. Today, let us recognize the reality of the Holy Spirit, its power, its presence, its intimacy, its strength within us as we embrace Christ as Lord and Savior. We must just recognize the validity of God's Holy Spirit. We have to stop setting the Holy Spirit aside in comparison to God the Father and Jesus the Son. At the same time, we want to pray specifically for the Holy Spirit to be recognized, present, trusted, and enjoyed in our lives. So wherever you are right now, I just want to invite you to take a few moments and just try to clear your heart and your mind for a little bit. I want to invite you to receive these words and let these words be a guide to recognizing the Holy Spirit among us. Holy Spirit, we recognize you. We know you are here right now with us. And as we seek Christ as Lord and Savior, we trust you. We delight in you. We desire you to walk in your counsel and in your power and in the flourishing of life. And so, Lord, we ask now that you come and through your Holy Spirit, awaken us to your Holy Spirit reality. Counsel us, guide us, teach us, defend us, fill us with your power, heal us, that we might offer your healing to others. What I want us to grasp today is that to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with this divine resident, is to have our lives transformed by an acute awareness of the divine person living in our lives. So we experience the Holy Spirit within us. However, we also experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our world. And now as we begin to live into this reality and this power of the Holy Spirit within us, we want to share it for healing and wholeness in our world as a whole. Now, I realize it can be easy to think that the Holy Spirit no longer moves among us. It can be easy to think, you know what, the Holy Spirit did healings only in biblical times, but that stuff doesn't happen anymore. But what I want to share with you is that there are even today many places in our world where God's church is thriving and growing and the Holy Spirit is actively on the move, especially in places like Central and South America and in Africa. There is a flourishing of the church and a growing movement of the Holy Spirit, and there really are healings happening. In fact, there are many credible reports of frequent and numerous healings happening of people. And in certain instances, even where death was imminent, healing is occurring. It's really happening. I love how Philip Jenkins, a professor of history at Baylor University, says that he says, there's a single word that tends to separate Christians in the global South from Christians in the global North. And to be clear, many churches in the global South are thriving compared to many churches in the global North. And he says that one word that offers a distinction between the two is the word healing. Now, you and I can have negative connotations when we think of healing because we might associate it with faith healers or televangelists or those kinds of things where the healing is often not true. But in the global South, there's a recognition of the Holy Spirit moving in a powerful way where healings really are occurring. It is time once again that the people of God embrace the Holy Spirit in such a way that healing in our world, in our context, in our setting is happening. Now, I will confess to you this day, this is a growing edge for me as well. It can be so easy, again, only to look at Jesus or God the Father. It can be so easy to say, are you still moving, Holy Spirit? Do you really offer healing? But I want to share with you today that this is one of the ways that God is working on my own heart about what is possible in the power of the Holy Spirit. And here are just two ways that the Holy Spirit has been moving in my life that I lift up as an example, and maybe it's helpful to you to think about how the Spirit might be working in your life. One of the ways that the Spirit works is in this way. Oftentimes, I find there are particular names or people laid upon my heart. And I used to think that because it would come at random times that there was something that had triggered a memory or something in my heart or mind, because sometimes a name will come to me when I'm in the shower or when I'm running or even in the middle of work, like out of nowhere, a name, a face is impressed upon my heart and upon my mind. And again, I used to think it was just a coincidence or a fleeting thought, but what I'm starting to learn is that more often than not, that is the Holy Spirit moving within me, prompting me, nudging me, and then to follow up with that person, to pray for them, but also to check in on them and see how they're doing. It's amazing how many times that has happened in my life. And when I follow up, they say something like, oh, Pastor, it is so good to hear from you. I was just going through such and such, and it's so good to hear your voice. That is a prompting of the Holy Spirit. And then secondly, just a few weeks ago, I had a pretty interesting experience. And this, I will admit, it doesn't happen to me all that often. But a friend of mine asked me to pray for their grandson, who was just a few months old. And even though that grandson was apparently healthy, he was not growing at the rate that he should. In fact, he was no longer even on the growth scale and growth chart, and the parents were becoming somewhat concerned. I was asked to pray for that child to grow, to put on weight. I got to pray for that child by name. And I remember in that prayer, I really believed, Lord, you can heal this child. That very afternoon, I received word that almost immediately that baby had started to eat in a way that he had not previously been doing. And the baby kept eating and kept eating. And within a few weeks, it put on some pounds and got back onto that growth chart. Almost immediately upon praying, I received confirmation that the Holy Spirit was moving and healing. Now, again, that doesn't happen all the time, but I believe in that moment, the Holy Spirit, our advocate, was at work offering healing in our world. That's not a story about me. It's a story about the power of the Holy Spirit, about this God who wants to partner with us to offer healing in our world. So here's what I want to invite us to do today, church, right now. Normally, we take time in each service to offer prayer through our pastoral prayer and other times, and we're still going to do that today. But here's my invitation to you right now. Would you take just a few moments of stillness and see who God might lay on your heart, a name, a face, a person. And then sometime after worshiping today, sometime this week, would you reach out to them and just check in on them, whoever it is that God has put on your heart. So let me just invite you right now, take just a few moments of stillness. Who is it that God is laying on your heart? And now, whoever that may be, would you reach out to them this week in the power of the Holy Spirit to offer God's healing love in whatever way God is prompting you? We invite the Holy Spirit among us today to fire us up in the relationship, the power found in God's Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, to defend us and empower us, that we might offer God's healing in our world. By the grace of God, may it be so.